chapter 16, verses 9 through 20. It's found on page 74 of the Pew Bible. After Jesus rose from death early on Sunday, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had driven out seven demons. She went and told his companions. They were mourning and crying. And when they heard her say that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe her. After this, Jesus appeared in a different manner to two of them while they were on their way to the country. They returned and told the others, but these would not believe it. Last of all, Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating. He scolded them because they did not have faith and because they were too stubborn to believe those had seen him alive. He said to them, "Go throughout the whole world and preach the gospel to all mankind. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Believers will be given the power to perform miracles. They will drive out demons in my name. They will speak in strange tongues. If they pick up snakes or drink any poison, they will not be harmed. They will place their hands on sick people, and these will get well." After the Lord Jesus had talked with them, he was taken up to heaven and sat on the right side of God. The disciples went and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and proved that their preaching was true by the miracles that they performed. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Today we continue on our journey of looking at Jesus and relationships. And so if you haven't caught it already, we are going through the book of Mark, and we are looking at how Jesus interacts with different people throughout the book of Mark. And so we're actually going to go out of order today, which maybe is not a surprise to some of you who have gotten to know me a little bit, but that's okay. We're going out of order for a good reason. And that's because Talia and I are going to Thailand next month. It's snuck up on us. We talked about this a long time ago when we brought it up, and all of a sudden it's coming. And so we're going to share a little bit about that today, but we're going to look at it a little bit in context of Mark chapter 16. So Jesus and relationships in particular, this is our relationship with the world because of Jesus. Now, before I dive into it a little bit, I want to tell you a little secret. And some of you maybe already know this secret, but maybe some of you don't know the secret. You don't always have to agree with your pastor. Some people seem to understand that, and I saw some smiles, but it's a hard thing to really understand. You don't always have to agree with your pastor. Your pastor is human. And so is everybody else in this congregation. And so I just want to acknowledge real quick that last week there are some people who disagreed with me and disagree with the stance of the Evangelical Covenant Church. And you know what? That's okay. God's still going to build his kingdom. And we see that in Mark 16 as well. We see here, at the very beginning, when Jesus rose from the dead, what happened? He revealed himself to Mary. And what did Mary do? She went back to the disciples and said, "He's no longer there. He's risen. I've seen him." And what did they say? Or what was their reaction? Verse 11 says, when they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe him. Like, if I was God, I might have said, "Oh, this church, why? I'm done with them. Like, what more do I need to do?" But no, God was not done, and he still built his kingdom. He still built his church. And again, afterward, Jesus appeared to two people. And we don't get the full story here in Mark, but we know the road to Emmaus said there was two disciples, Simon and Cleopas, or perhaps one disciple named Simon and Cleopas. We're not going to get into that too much. Regardless, there was two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus appeared to them miraculously and then disappeared miraculously, and they ran back to the disciples back to Jerusalem, And they, it says in verse 13, these returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. The disciples of Jesus didn't agree, and God still built his church. Praise God for that. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, and he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Now, let me be very clear. I'm not saying I'm like Mary, and I'm like Simon and Cleopas, at least all the time. In fact, we've looked at the last couple of weeks when Christian leaders get it wrong. We looked last week at how James and John, they wanted to rain fire down upon the Samaritans and literally kill them. And they were wrong. And it doesn't report all of the reactions of the other disciples, but because Jesus specifically just rebuked James and John there, I can't help but think that the other disciples were like, I'm out, I don't agree with these people. And you know what? Jesus still built his church. Or we looked at a couple of weeks ago, it was like a month actually, because we had 2 weeks of snow days. But we looked at Jesus being transfigured. And so Peter, James, and John were up there watching Jesus reveal his divine properties, and they were blinded. And what does Peter say? I've got this great idea. Let's build him a shelter along with Moses and Elijah. And James and John, we don't get their full reaction, but I'm sure that they were like, I don't know if I'm with this guy. And Peter was in the wrong. There are times when even your pastor will be like Peter, James, and John and be in the wrong. And you know what? God will still build his kingdom, still build his church. And so I think the biggest takeaway from all of this, though, is all of these disciples, they remained in relationship with one another. And they worked it out. They talked about it. And I love that. Even Jesus, after he rebukes them, what does it say? Oh, where is it? What verse am I in? Verse 19, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up to heaven. This passage shows that relationship is key. The relationship between Jesus and his disciples, the relationship between the disciples and each other, and the relationship to the disciples with the world. And so I would just challenge you, if you're one of the people who are maybe bothered by some of the things that were shared last week, or anytime that you disagree with me as pastor, I would encourage you to come talk to me in person. And if you can't talk to your pastor in person about a problem, you might not actually have a pastor, because a pastor is supposed to have a relationship with his congregants. And so I know that that's challenging, and I know that that is goes against kind of some of the things that we've been taught, but I really do want to try to be accessible to everybody. And so if you have a problem with something, and sometimes it's a matter of opinion. And so if it's a matter of an opinion, we can talk at that level, but really as a pastor, the biggest thing is I want to make sure that I am being biblically sound. And so if you have a problem with my teaching as unbiblical, then that really does need to be addressed. And so if you come talk to me and you feel like something that I shared was unbiblical, and you say, well, this is unbiblical because of this, and I fail to listen to you on that, then the next step would be then to go to the council. And so that is an appropriate biblical model that we see in Matthew chapter 18. But the first step should be to come to the pastor one-on-one. So I would encourage you, if anybody ever comes to that point, please come and talk to me. And you know what? It's okay. God will still build his church. God will still build the Valley's Evangelical Covenant Church if we don't all agree all the time. In fact, I think that's part of how God does build us. When we have disagreements, it forces us to grow. And I think that that's actually a good thing. And I know that that's true in my life. I know I've had to grow, and I've been wrong at times. Like, for instance, I have not always thought that women should be allowed to preach. But God changed my heart as I listened to other people, as I read the Bible. And it's only because I had a disagreement with somebody and somebody brought it up with me. That's when I grew the most. So I would just again challenge you, if you have differences of opinion, or especially differences of biblical interpretation, come talk to me one-on-one. And I would encourage you not to try to do it in text or email, because written communication just gets misinterpreted really easily. And so come talk to me in person. I would love to do that. And I might tell you, give me a couple days to make sure that I'm not contagious still, but I will get with you. I promise you that. And so God built his church even as the disciples disagreed with one another. And while it would be, if it was up to me, I'd say, wipe the slate clean, let's start again. Jesus took this group of disciples that were actively disagreeing with each other all day long, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Now, chances are pretty good this church hadn't fully come back together yet. They were still trying to figure things out. We know that because Thomas was still part of it, and we have doubt in Thomas regardless. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, Jesus said to them. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And what did they do? It says in verse 20, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. And we see in the book of Acts and all of the epistles, we see the church on mission. And it's amazing that this group of very different disciples, from fishermen to, in the book of Acts, you had doctors, you had former Pharisees, you had all walks of life that were following Jesus, by all means, in worldly standard, should have been fighting all the time. But when they were on mission, when they were doing what God wanted them to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, God built his church in amazing ways. And I believe that God wants to do that for our church as well. And so that's part of why we're super excited, my daughter and I, to be going to Thailand. And I've told a couple people in this church this story, but I haven't told everybody. So it was about this time last year, I think it was March actually, that I started praying. And I didn't just start praying last March, by the way. But I started praying this prayer that that God would allow our church to have more connection to some sort of international ministry. I don't really know why I started praying that, but that's just what I felt like. The Spirit led me to pray. And then it was that week that our friend Varun texted and said, and somebody said, can you pick him up from the airport at 5 a.m. on a Sunday morning? And I said, well, I just prayed for this, so I better go do it. And so we're very thankful to have our friend Varun with us for most of this past year. He's found friends his own age that he's going to another church to right now, and that's totally fine and good. But he was with us, and then just a couple weeks later, I got a phone call, a cold phone call from Martin and Jean Choi, who were seeking to connect with churches about going to Thailand as missionaries. And I said, well, I just prayed for this, so we better say yes. And so those of you who are on council know that we had a council gathering with them, and they shared a bit about their ministry. And so we've been praying for them. And they specifically said at that time, we're not looking for financial support, but we probably will in the future. But they said, please pray for us. So we said, well, of course, we could pray for you. And so if you looked at the board out there, you've seen them up there. And then Serena, who was part of our youth group, she came and shared not very long ago. And where was she going to? Thailand. Wait a minute, this little church in Halifax, Pennsylvania, is now supporting 5 Thailand missionaries? God's got to be doing something with that, right? I mean, if God heard that prayer, and he either would have said yes, no, or slow down, or another time, or to stop, it seems to me like this was a yes. And I hope that that's what our church feels as well. But I really feel like this is a great opportunity for us as a church to connect with the missionaries that we have been supporting. And so Tally and I are going to be going to Thailand end of next month into April as well. And our main task is to be visiting our missionaries, visiting those that we support, encouraging them, and also be looking for ways that we can, as a church, perhaps maybe send another team in the future. And we're going with Covenant Merge Ministry, so it is part of the Covenant Church. which makes sense because we're going to visit mostly covenant missionaries. And they love multi-generational teams, by the way. When I was at Midwinter in Chicago just a couple weeks ago, the merge director said, "We will take even newborn infants on our mission trips," which I thought, well, I don't know if I would do that, but okay, cool. But regardless, even children can go on any of these trips, and they find some ways for, lots of times it is children playing with other children in the ministry. Any age can go. And so we're heading to Thailand, and our first stop will be Bangkok. And Serena Canales is, I don't actually forget, how do you say your last name? All right, I did okay. She's in Bangkok, and we're going to spend the day with her. And if you don't recall, she is doing college ministry and campus outreach. And it sounds like she's been doing a great job. We get newsletters from her that I post on the bulletin board almost every month. And so we're excited to go and visit her. And after that, the day, we're going to go. This is a zoomed-in picture of Thailand. And those two pins are where there are covenant Bible camps. And so we're going to go visit Royet, which is a place that looking at it, it's on the left. The pin that you see on the left, Royet is right there, and that's where that Covenant Bible Camp is. And we're going to spend some time there. And so just a little bit of background first, though, on Thailand, for those of you who maybe don't have a lot of background, which I didn't either until I started looking into this. But Thailand has actually not had a Protestant evangelical presence for that long. It's fairly recent, in the last 100 years, really, that the Protestant church has come in. And you might not know this, or maybe you do. I think my daughter knew this, but I didn't know this. Did you know Thailand is the only Southeast Asian country that was never colonized? So all the other Southeast Asian colonies, countries have been colonized by various different, whether it be French, whether it be Chinese, whether it be other places that colonized, but Thailand has never been colonized. And so they have always been a sovereign kingdom. And that's part of why their name is Thailand, because it is the land of the free. They're very proud of that. But they are a kingdom of Thailand. But so they weren't necessarily open to foreigners coming in for a long time. But in the last 100 years, the Protestant church has gone in. And so the Evangelical Covenant Church first began mission in Thailand in 1971 through missionaries Jim and Joan Gustafson. And this is a recent picture of them. Joan has passed away in the last couple of years, but Jim is still alive, and he goes back and forth from Thailand still to this day. However, he was only there until 1998 full-time, and then he went on to become the director of Covenant Missions in our denomination. But the Gustafsons, they started doing ministry in Thailand with the Isan people group. And so that's where we're going to be spending most of our time, is with the Isan people group. And so the Isan people group are, they say, almost 99% Muslim. Sorry, I don't know why I said Muslim. I meant 99% Buddhist. 99% Buddhist. And only less than 1% Christian. There are other people groups in Thailand that are part Muslim, which is that was probably in my mind. But the Isan people group is almost all Buddhist, and very few Christians. In fact, there's about 66 million people in Thailand, and 95% of them are Buddhist. And Christians in the whole country only make up about 0.5%, where 4% of them are Muslim, but most of those are in the south near Malaysia. So that's the people groups that we're mostly going to. People groups who are in desperate need of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when we're in Royet, we're going to be working with the Lower Isan Foundation for Enablement. I don't know how they came up with that name in English, because in Royet, they said that less than 10% of the people speak fluent English. The Thai language is super hard to learn. If you've ever used Duolingo, I don't know if any of you have, it's a program of learning languages. They don't even offer Thai language as an option because they say it's too hard to teach. They have Chinese, they have Mandarin Chinese, but they don't have Thai. And part of that is the Thai language is a completely different alphabet. Like if you see this, that the top part of the Thailand Covenant Church, that's Thai. We can't read that at all. And it's a tonal language, so if you don't have the right tone, the word is wrong. And so that's actually caused a lot of problems in the church. And so the Covenant Church is one of the few churches that came in and realized that you can't just translate English things into Thai and make it work in the church. Whereas some other organizations have come in with, like, say, Christian music, even hymns, and brought them in and tried to translate them into Thai. But the problem is, with a tonal language, that affects what note you're singing. And so you have to go high, you have to go low. And so when you're trying to match a tonal language with pre-made music, it just won't work. And so a lot of the early Protestants that brought in worship music, like the Thais, were like, what is this? It sounds terrible. And so the Covenant Church has kind of led the way in helping the Thai people create their own worship. And it's actually really amazing. If you go onto YouTube and look up indigenous Thai worship music, it sounds nothing like what we sing in our churches. Or even, and I know that we're a mostly hymn church, but even if you were to go to, what's the most modern church in this area? I can't even think of it. But one that does all contemporary worship, it still sounds nothing like that. Thai worship sounds completely different. It sounds very Thai, very Asian, and so it's pretty cool. And part of where this has happened is at the Lower Isan Foundation for Enablement, where one of the things that they do is they train up pastors and church leaders. And so we're going to go and partner with them a little bit, and every single church leader in Thailand is bivocational. So they teach them how to pastor, but they also teach them how to earn money. And a lot of that is through farming, which is part of where we come in. And we are a farming community. And so it makes a lot of sense that we would partner with them. And of course, it's going to be very, very different. It's going to be hot. The climate is very, very different, obviously. When we go there next month, it's supposed to be the hottest time of the year. We're looking at temperatures from 100 to 110 and 100% humidity. So pray that we don't die from heat exhaustion, but we're going to drink lots of water. But it's very, very different climate. But there is, I'm sure, some things that that still correlate that are parallels. So we're going to go there. We're also going to go to the Grace Center, which is part of the Bible camp that I mentioned. And from there, from Royette, we're going to go to Chiang Mai. And to talk about Chiang Mai, we're going to let Talia take over. So go for it, Talia.
So Martin and Jean, they came this summer and talked about it. So Martin is a middle school principal in Chiang Mai at Grace International School. Him and Jean have two daughters, Jolene and Elena, and they came here. And then they've served as missionaries in various different countries for the past 15 years. And Grace International School is a Christian school that helps orphans without homes, kids that struggle with like AIDS, and kids that have been affected by the devastation of prostitution. So, but it also like is for the missionary kids there too. And then, although Chiang Mai has a higher Christian population than the rest of Thailand, it's still not a lot, with around 15% of people being Christian. And then the main religion in Chiang Mai is Buddhism. And then Jean works at Cornerstone Counseling, which is a trauma healing institute. She's the director of operations. They specialize in helping people who have experienced trauma and want to help guide people through a healing process with God. They help single mothers and try to convince them not to get an abortion. Cornerstone also serves as a training center for aspiring Christian mental health workers, and they hold community workshops to help the community deal with difficulties. And there are a multitude of refugees from Burma in Thailand, with a number of them in Chiang Mai. Burma is currently involved in a civil war. They experienced their first military coup in 1962 after gaining independence from Britain in 1948. They have experienced several coups since then and have not had a long period of peace. The most recent coup was in 2021 and has been very turbulent in Burma since then. There have been rebel groups attacking the military going on consistently since 2024, leaving the military with no time to recuperate. As you can tell, many regular citizens did not want to stay in those places, so they left as refugees. And then Min Dao is currently the executive director of Cornerstone Counseling. Him and his family moved to Chiang Mai in 2015 to serve in missions and serve against anti-human trafficking. Min and Jim have five kids: Claire, Anthony, Faith, Isaiah, and Luke. Their kids, the ones who are still in school, still go to Grace International School, the school where Martin is the middle school principal. Jen takes part in International Child Development Program at Cornerstone Counseling, and they both have a love and desire to serve children. The reason I would like to go to Thailand is because I believe God has called me to missions. In Matthew 28:19-20, it says, "Therefore, we will go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always, to the very end of this age." I believe we are all called to missions, it's just a matter of where. It says in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And there is no like end of the earth, obviously, but I believe God has called me to go as far as I can. And I would like to be an overseas medical missionary. I would like to be a missionary to people who haven't gotten the experience of the love of Jesus yet. And I think working in medical care would be the perfect time to tell those peoples about Jesus. It shows the patients that you care for them, and the relationship that's needed for somebody to accept Christianity from another religion is there. And a few years ago, I would have never dreamed that I would be going on my third overseas missions trip, willingly. I've been to Africa twice and would like to see the missions field in another continent. And in 1 Chronicles 16:24, it says, "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples."
Job, Deli. So part of the reason I brought up this leper colony picture here is Tali was talking about how she wants to be a medical missionary. And so there is a leper colony in Chiang Mai, which is amazing that it's still there. So leprosy has been cured, in case you don't know. But there are still leper colonies. And part of the reason for that, these people in Chiang Mai don't have leprosy anymore. But all of their family, all their ancestors did. Because back in the day, lepers, of course, had to be set aside. It was such a contagious disease that they thought it was such a contagious disease they didn't want them to be part of the community. And so entire generations lived in these leper colonies. And then when leprosy was cured, they didn't really want to go back because all of their family was there. And there's still a stigma, though, of, oh, we don't want to go to the leper colony. And so Christians were a lot of the reason why leprosy was cured. And so Christians are the ones who are going into the leper colonies and sharing the good news of Jesus and are going in and sharing that they are loved. And so we are hoping, and we're still talking to the missionaries there, but we're hoping that we can go visit that leper colony, which is pretty cool. And so that's part of what we're going to be doing in Thailand. And so we just really appreciate your prayers and support. And so really those are the two main ways. If you could pray for us, pray for the missionaries that are already there. I mean, that's really the main reason. It's not about us. It's about what they're doing. And we want to come alongside and help them in whatever ways we can. And especially those who are hearing the gospel message, whether it be those kids, whether it be the Buddhists, whether it be the lepers, we want all of the people hearing the gospel message to have soft hearts to be changed by Jesus Christ. And also pray for our team members, for both of us, that we have good health and logistics, whether it be raising the money or making sure that we get all of our shots in time. We both have our passports, so we're good on that end. But there is always lots of logistics. Also, if you would like to give a financial gift, you're more than welcome to do so. There is a basket back there that says Thailand Mission Trip Donations, and we'll keep that out for probably a month or so. And if God leads you to give, please give. Don't feel compelled to give. Many of you know that our family were support-raised missionaries in Alaska for 17 years. I raised my own salary, and so we do have a pretty good network of people who are, we believe, will give to us. But we are also trying to raise $8,000 for this trip, which is more than we have tried to raise for a mission trip before. So if you do feel that God is leading you to give, please feel free to give, and you can make out checks to Valleys. And just put Thailand Mission Trip in the memo. But definitely, we love prayers. And we'll have an official sending in March before we go. But pray for us even now. And we would love to see what God's going to continue to do through our church and our partnership with our Thai missionaries. Praise the Lord for how He has sent us all out. And that's part of what draws us together as a church. Let us pray. Almighty God, I just thank you so much for how you have called us to go ye therefore in all the world, and that you do it not just to us as individuals, but that you tell the church to go. And Lord, some people are sent and some people are sending. Lord, we see that even in the New Testament, that many people sent Paul, and Paul was willing to go wherever he could. And so Lord, we pray especially for people like Talia, who have a heart to go wherever she can. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to fan that into flame and show her where you want her to go and how you want her to serve. And for those of us that are here, Lord, I just pray that you would help us to ask that question too. God, do you want me to go? Or do you want me to send? And Lord, sometimes we know that sending is financial, but far more often sending is through prayers. So Lord, I just pray that our church would redouble our effort to be a sending church, not just to this team that's going to Thailand, but also to all of our missionaries, and to continue to ask how we can be more involved in world mission. Lord, help us to be your servants and to be one body through your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.